Welcome to Breaking Form, a podcast of poetry and culture. I'm Aaron Smith.
And I am James Allen Hall. For those listening for the first time,
we do literary games.
We revisit books that we love.
We gossip.
We do. We interview.
We shade.
We laugh.
And we are not for everyone. Mm-mm.
Hi, Aaron.
Hey, this is a tough one to like figure out how to come into the show because the person we're celebrating today was so vibrant and would want us to have vibrance and light and joy. And their death has brought a huge sadness to us and to so many people in the poetry world.
It's true. We're talking about Maureen Seaton, who died on August 26th of this year, 2023. Maureen is the author of more than two dozen books of poetry and one memoir. She collaborated with a slew of folks. And I had a dream about Maureen after she died. I felt like she visited me, and we were in a limousine on the way to a reading she was giving in Miami. We were zipping down Lincoln Road and yelling out the windows at people, and they were waving to her like she was a celebrity. And she went and like gave this reading, and it was like disco, like in a like a club, and like there was music, but she was reading over the music, and like people were listening. It was weird. And then it morphed into her singing the Michelle Pfeiffer part of I'll Be Your Girl for all Seasons from Grease 2.
And she would love this dream. She would love this. And I have been seeing things that are like beautiful. And I'm like, Maureen would love that. That's so Maureen. And I am fortunate to have been one of the collaborators, or to be one of the collaborators. It feels very present still. And the book that we wrote together, it's unpublished, but it's called Beautiful People. And I have the manuscript and I've been looking at it, and she's just so here. And I look at the writing sometimes like, did she write that line or did I? It's like she did have this ability. And this is what I hear from other people. She had this ability to bring you to the space that I'm going to be honest, feels otherworldly, feels like another realm. And I can honestly say we only became close in the last couple of years. Like we knew of each other, but writing that book with her, the intimacy and the friendship and the love that I received and gave and, you know, is one of the most profound experiences of my life. And she changed me as a human. And that's weird. I know that's weird for people to say that. And I'm not saying it to be hyperbole. Mm-hmm. I feel completely changed by the experience and I miss her. And then I read this book and I'm like, well, she's right there. Like she's there she still is. So here.
Yeah. I didn't know Maureen very well, just a little bit through emails. We met a few times in real life. And then through the show, we connected a little bit. I wasn't as close with her as the people we'll hear from today, and also not as close as you were with her, Aaron. But yet, it's a profound loss. It's just a profound loss. She was such a fucking great person. And she also had my father's birthday. She was a Libra, an October 20th Libra. Mm-hmm. So we're releasing this as close to her birthday as possible. Also, there's, by the day we release this, there'll be two other memorials for her on the 22nd and 21st in Miami, at the University of Miami where she worked, and also there in South Florida with her friends. And I think there's going to be another, maybe a reading for her at the Miami Book Festival in November. So there's her poems are, you know, like when people die, they become their poems, as that Auden poem says. And that's a, I think that's a real gift and a little bit of luck in the loss.
So what we've done is we've reached out to all of her collaborators and we asked them to record part of their collaboration or a collaboration they did with Maureen. And we're just going to run them back to back. Each person says who they are and they read something. And then we're going to play Maureen reading something at the end that we have recorded from when she was on our earlier episodes. We're not going to do a fact check. So you can check the show notes and we'll even link to the episodes where we interviewed her. But we just want this to be a space and a time where we just honor our friend who we love and who just is everywhere. So we hope that you take some time and think about her and think about these poems.
So with that said, let's hear from Maureen and her writers.
Her crew.
Let's hear from Maureen and her crew.
This is Samuel Ace. I'll be reading the opening pages of Portals, a book written by Maureen and myself that will be published in the near future by Ravenna Press. It begins with a portal of blood and luck. They are the meteorologists of the neighborhood, predicting the play of wind off the mountain that slouches at night in its great bare self, like a purpose for which someone is intended. It's the way to the rest of the life they have chosen, secrets in the interstices, the way the door remains closed for everyone but them. Even for them, it requires a shove, so they shove it. What is it to walk through, to finger, to infant mind, to cross? What is it to finish a world without the intervention of philosophy or corruption? What is it to leap, to not know a toe, an arm, an ether of certainty, to just not care, to witness a great suck of being, a flashing current, notions of sleep, raisins of dreams and courage? Along the river, cattails and hot spots. Their 4 feet twig in Delphic mud, bones root like stanchions. Okay, they say, subtle beside the mountain, light blanketing day, back up to Orion at night. They predict nothing but bread. They predict nothing, even bread, which arrives with crusts and twists and caverns of spiced air. Special delivery tonight. It's almost here, that special baby of dark matter, that kernel of carnal vision and folded predation, fuming up through hot waters, strumming in eerie harmonics and waving bodies. Households waiting, heartbeats in unison, lotioned and fundamentally pristine. There's a soluble century between them, an entire, though small town, that squishes as they walk. They make up. They are attached at tongue and toe, the way red makes a hole in history that sounds like a bell. 1. There is a secret in the room at the back of the house, a gun, a brother, something close to a crime that was hidden along a river or in the lining of a box, much madness and no eye discerning enough to tell, 1 for sorrow, 2 for joy. A violence eclipsed and surreptitious. Roiling faggots and communists strangled. Some nights the tide turns rabid with their fury and suffocation. That harness of creosote clogs every pipe and drips from every wall of every well. Clearly time for an uprising, a revolution of tiny eruptions, a slight swell of concrete, then a conflagration of salt cedar at the river's edge, skewered through a preacher's ribs. But righteous always, a repeating settlement for a past so vicious that although sometimes hidden, it would never remain silent. It tripped the wandering party across the street, right there at the spring where an Apache raid took the life of 2 white servant girls, so the sign says, in revenge for more rapes and deaths than a river of cranes could ever be counted. Those who die in the desert inherit clean bones. scoured in sand and melted in sun until they connect like braised bottles at the glass dump or lead in a crucible fired into unrecognizable shapes. Everyone heated to non-longing, transmuted to innocence. Tonight, he told me the government threw lye on the carcasses at the bottom of the canyon, mostly horses, some with men still on their backs, chased off the face of the cliff. No name for this massacre. He said the people, his family, who settled there were too ashamed for naming. Names pressed in heavy books, like fallen leaves or stolen wildflowers. So they pretend to live alone on this plain, in this when the path along which each kicks a stone toward the other. Their heads weary and webby, mourning, remembering. So there is a way to make toast, raising a glass, inscribing whispers as they fly by like ash, bonfires everywhere, marches, parades, exhibitions, the opportunity to commemorate, always in preparation, throwing on a costume, dyeing one's hair and polishing one's boots, combing the manes of ponies, tying ribbons, always, always weeping.
Carolina Hospital reading for singers and poets we miss. The dog sleeps on his clean pillow like a cup of tea that knows its place on the white table. There is a ghost with one shoe sleeping on the patio. The passion fruit scent filters through the boiling water, a few drops burning my skin. When I say the color blue, I mean the number 7. When I say 7, I mean C square. Celia Cruz carries the weight of Miami on her hollowed vocal cords. Actually, this particular ghost is barefoot. It's hard not to gain weight in a city full of dulce de leche and azúcar. I've never seen the word phantom in a poem. Oh, wait, yes, I have. When she sang, lightning struck the church tower. A phantom would say something muffled like, I am stuck on the side of your house like a wreath of pine cones, the tangled hair of her discord. Often, a ghost who is normally fully clothed runs naked down the driveway. With workman's boots and a hat, Celia climbs the ladder to the rooftop. They call her Mosey, Queen of the Phantoms. The choir will memorize the Huahuanco before Palm Sunday, reticent poltergeist. Every child will tune his harmonica in front of the queen. Sylvia Plath escucha los animales en el zoológico por la noche. The conga drums have swallowed the fire. All the ghosts are gone now. All the animals are fed.
Neil de la Flor, The Boat with a Boy's Heart. He was a small boy, lighter than a shrimp boat, slighter than the lip of a lungfish. He wore an oval skirt, not a kilt, but the kind his mother wore to mass on Sundays, with clam hats and whale shoes and blue-green skivvies. He was lost without his carousel, mermaid, gazelle, amoeba, all huddled and muddled as if thrown miles in a hurricane. A loose wind the color of oysters Rockefeller, he and his glowing rib cage, his placable heart. It wasn't a heart at all, but a small shipwreck, a variation of the Hesperus, the Esmeralda, the 6-lane highway they call the Palmetto. We're off, said the carousel, grabbed the rope and hoped for wind. He swept the last strands of the wind to the wind, and the wind said to him, avoid symmetry, be brave as a jib. The heart of the boy, not wooden like a moat, was a heart like a boat, and he frequently shucked around the boardwalk with a hockey stick and a beer, creating his own world of supreme beings.
I'm Holly Iglesias, and I am reading the poem How to Pray, a poem written collaboratively by Maureen, me, Carolina Hospital, and Nicole Hospital Medina. How to Pray. Say the words your mother taught you, which her mother taught her, which came on a boat from Ireland, or Cuba, or Ukraine. Worship the vision of your toddler sleeping, the light from the TV, the shelter of a sofa. Keep candles lit, relics close at hand, holy cards in rotation on a small wooden stand. When the light creeps in between the blinds, rise with the sun. Reach for your youth and repeat mercies that comforted you then. Dread not the fever, the cough, the pain. Instead, heed the angel at your window pane. Ask for forgiveness in the shower, water on the back, water on the face, fronds kissing the frosty window naively. Tell no one. Sit in the oldest tree and ask her to pray for the world. Listen to the cottonwoods, the way sound rises from their roots, then moves on, mournfully, to the mountains, to the sky. Sit with the sky, without a word.
I'm Nicole Hospital Medina, reading a poem in collaboration with Maureen Seaton called Partner Poem. Amidst all the coconuts, sea breezes and smoke, sweet weed and cigarettes, you still manage to appear crisp and in focus, welcoming, a home I can see in the distance. These palms and sand dunes, my righteous dog escorts me through them as we make our way past giants that ignore us but still loom, dripping athleticism and territory. Perhaps we should buy these bad drugs made with creatine sold on the sidewalks. Dog even takes pause. We consider becoming giants until salt reminds us where we are headed. Home to fresh water.
Boca Chica Bay by Maureen Seaton and Christine Snodgrass. Knit me, knit me. Street of clucks, rock, 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 obsessively, baby, go to sleep. Ducks are the portals to the swans. Corey Danes, The Blue Iguana, Key West. I saw humans being brave in houseboats on Boca Chica Bay, and nurse sharks nursing, and starfish starring, and an octopus sticking out jelly sandals from a conch shell, which was conking, and mangroves walking all around. Who eats who, I wondered. There I blamed the sand for my fears and the stars for my liveliness. What happened? It was too close to the shells I had gathered, too close to my new work, which was sitting in a basket under the table. Let me live, I said. I'm not knitting now. The closer I got to the tangle of roots, the more I sat straight in the boat and blended in. Rob said, I've lived here since 72 BC, before condos, and I sat furiously, my hands clicking like shrimp. We boiled them down to bone, a coral fragment, a steely grain I carried with me up north. Those coral reefs could have been knitted by my brother, but I have forgotten him now. No sense, no leisure, just the plain-spoken colors of la différence. We are not less for those we have never known. I skeined the roiling clouds that bridged the channel. Rob said, see how we've even changed the weather down here? I was brackish from the waist down, the flinty barracuda, the Floridian, and me, the key. Tangled threads of a sea sweater, booties for the red mangrove, Boca a Boca.
I'm Nicole Tallman, and this is Nicole Wants to Write a Poem with Maureen. Nicole knows a spirit who knows the dark. He identifies as male, and his name is Too Dark. Nicole asks Maureen if she would like to meet him. Maureen thinks Too Dark might be fun, like a new moon or a cellar full of wine. Sure, she says, and the poem continues darkly. Nicole and Maureen turn their hands back to the proverbial planchette and ask Too Dark to join them. Too Dark tells Nicole that he is a bad spirit. Nicole says she knows. Maureen says she loves the dark, What's bad anyway? She was kind of hoping Too Dark would have something good to say about the afterlife. Maybe even something comforting. Nicole, on the other hand, is skeptical. Typical Virgo moon. And asks Too Dark, is there even an afterlife? Or are we all just clinging to illusion? Too Dark says, that's up to you. And Maureen jumps in her car and drives out to Miami to see Nicole, who has jumped in her car and driven out to Colorado to see Maureen. Maureen will make it to Miami, and Nicole will make it to Colorado before they learn of each other's surprise road trips. Maureen will be dancing in Mangoes and Nicole skiing in Loveland when the prophetic words of Too Dark knock them off their feet. There is no end and no beginning. Only now. Enjoy the moment. And they do. Libra on the cusp of sea and Cancer on the cusp of mountain. Loving the dark and the light between them.
This is Aaron Smith. I put this moment over here after and for Kate Bush. I first heard Kate Bush in a smoky dorm room that one could put on a postcard and send to their favorite god on this planet or another planet or any of their favorite places at the precise moment they're driving up that slick-ass road over the river and through the woods. Kidding. I'm afraid of icy hills here, there, and everywhere. The slick simultaneity of building confidence and fear. To get from here to somewhere, from one building to another, over labyrinths and holograms. Oh, if only I could freeze the best moments into all the time. Toss shit ones over the hill. Like this worldwide one that seems to have enlisted every dark god. A friend put Wuthering Heights on a mixtape for me before I hit the road, and I replayed The Big Sky for 6 hours driving to Wyoming and other places I'd always wanted to go and places I stumbled upon travel weary, places put on maps by people hell-bent on populating and cyber-building. Does it all come to this? A lonely body in a scratched up Ford on a twisty road, the moment of rescue so far away, like lights on a bridge. I could, I wish, step heart first over the bruised earth and hold the face of God, right here where there is so much that needs explaining, cities and hills and telephone lines slicing the sky. Here, God, let's make a deal. This hill overblown with dandelions and high with children is one of those places where you, God, just for a moment, can strip off your mystery. Okay, God, this is your chance to step up and perform at Woodstock 22, to build an epic symphonic encore in the bottom of your faithless guts. You could, I would, if we swapped places. Me, you, a big old queer. The road, my road, would sparkle like horses dipped in glitter and sequins. Your road would put the whole lovely world back on the map, not plummet down the hill. But if we can't have this, and we can't, do you think that maybe you could take a moment to explain a few key things, like why are all the beautiful places overrun with unbeauty, or at least eclipsed by it? And why are we always building here, there, everywhere, and up, upper, uppest, as if trying to reach you? Hey, God, we're down here. Why don't you reach us from your spaceship? Finally, God, if you're ever over this way, between oceans or stars, or down the road and you have a moment, well, never mind. When I think how we've been building it up, then tearing it all down, this gorgeous world from mountain to molehill, there's something I want to put in your God-sized ear. Of all the places you and I have co-created, this is the one I'd love for us to heal, if only we could.
Hi, I'm Denise Duhamel, and I'm reading a collaborative poem by Maureen Seaton and me called Florida Doll Sonnet. I love Fresh Market, but always feel underdressed, squeezing overpriced limes. Louis Vuitton, Gucci, Fiorucci, and all the ancient East Coast girls with their scarecrow limbs and joker grins. Their silver fox husbands, rosy from tanning beds, steady their ladies who shuffle along in Miu Miu's, not Moo Moo's, and make me hide behind towers of handmade soaps and white pistachios. Who knew I'd still feel like that high school fat girl some 30 odd years later? My Birkenstocks and my propensity for Fig Newtons. Still, whenever I'm face to face with a face that is no more real than a doll's, I try to love my crinkles, my saggy chin skin, my body, organic, with no preservatives.
Okay. Doesn't have a title, so. In the meantime, I am sad as a chimney without a house. Once I was a little girl who invented the universe. I didn't mean this to be a poem, but it's building itself, and there is nothing I can do to stop it, truly. Try and stop me. I am sad as a house without a doll. See? A doll without a mouth. A mouth without a smile. Note to poet. Revise that last part. It's boring. Here's a line from Spicer or Lorca. Who cares? They don't. But the sky is an elephant, and the jasmines are water without blood. This is sad, but it makes me happy, especially the elephant. I think this poem actually ended somewhere around the doll or the mouth, but I am too sad to fix it. You know how that feels. So this make-believe poem will go on as is, like the moon over the skeleton of a girl. It does take me, as you have talked about already, to another me, like a me mixed with another me. And each person that I collaborate with kind of takes me to a different me. And I guess I need that. I just really love that. It's surprising. It's exciting. No, I'm always sending you good vibes. Mwah! You're the best. Bye, love you.